back, episode 128 of the Ranting Rangers podcast in partnership with Inside the Rink. I'm your host, Jacob Berkowitz, and I'm alongside Jack. Brett is not here with us. Jack, how's it going?
It's going well, Berkey. Thanks for inviting me tonight.
Of course. Brett kind of ditched me, so you know. you know why he really ditched me? Because I'm in the fantasy championship. He's not. And I'm actually beating Will right now, and if this keeps up, I'm going to win the championship. And he's probably going to try to ditch every single podcast for the rest of the summer also. He knows he's not going to hear the end of it.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. By the way, I need to ask again, because I asked just right before, you should wear that Mika jersey more often, because clearly it has some sort of effect. I mean, Mika could not get hotter at a better time. But I don't know, what is your take bit on him this year?
Yeah, so it's obviously it's been up and down, right? It's been up and down, and him and Kreider have both been catching a lot of heat, like in the news and in Twitter, and I don't know. I keep, you know, everybody saying, oh, nobody can fix Mika and Kreider. Nobody can, you know, fix those two. And I just feel like here at coming towards the end, I just feel like they're both kind of, look, they're just trying not to get hurt, right? They're just kind of just skating around. And I took notes on tonight's game, and I was thinking like him and Kreider both kind of just were hovering in the right spots of the ice, not trying not to take hits. You know, try not to get involved, but just kind of hovering. And I mean, Mika was in the right place at the right time tonight, right? He did lead the Rangers in shots tonight. I think he had, I want to say he had 8 shots on goal or 7 shots on goal. But it was a quiet, you know, 7 or 8 shots on goal. So I think that they're kind of just sort of going through the motions here, getting ready for the playoffs, trying not to get hurt. And I feel like Mika and Kreider are gonna turn it on here for the playoffs.
Yeah, I think people forget, people were on, especially Kreider, where I'm like, do we not forget how he played? Like, he wasn't the reason why they lost versus the Devils. He did his part. I mean, it was overall the whole team just didn't show up certain games. It wasn't just a specific player. Yeah, no, if this gets Mika going at the right time, it's like, hey, you know, honestly, if he gets going at the right time and he produces in the playoffs, then who the hell cares, right? Because that's when it matters, right? I don't care about regular season totals. All we're saying is, oh, they're going to be regular season players, right? So, honestly, if he produces in the playoffs and this gets him going, then who the hell cares? He could score 40 points, honestly. Like, just produce in the playoffs, you know?
And Berkey, let's not forget that he just passed 25 goals, right? So he's like 1 of 3 players in Rangers history to have 25 goals for 6 seasons in a row?
Something like that, yeah. And he's going to pass in power play goals Brian Leetch soon.
Yeah, so we're all like, you know, everybody's talking shit about him and Kreider, and everybody's like, oh, you know, nothing can fix them. And they're just quietly going about their business and still being, you know, the best Rangers of all time.
Yeah, I understand why. We don't know exactly why Laviolette scratched Roslovic, right? Like, people are going to say it's just because he didn't play well versus Detroit. But honestly, it was like the same thing with Cooley. Like, he wasn't playing well, and obviously we know how, you know, big and massive or, you know, what's the word? Exhausting the schedule they've been having. Just let them rest, because honestly, if it's between the President's Trophy and just making sure everyone's healthy, everyone's rested for the playoffs, I'm picking the latter. It's not even close. Give it to the Boston, whoever it is that's a regular season team that's going to be knocked out in the first round. Fine, congrats. You've got the President's Trophy. That's all you're going to get. I'm just interested in this team being ready for game one. I couldn't care less about all that. Listen, I would love for the Rangers to win the President's Trophy, but that's not – I don't think that should be the priority at all. You just got to get them healthy. And when Roslovic didn't play that well, I wonder if Laviolette scratched him more of, you know, let him rest a little bit and then come back, not more of out of a lot of criticism. I mean, if this wasn't later to the end of the season, I don't think he would have been scratched.
Yeah, I mean, has Roslovic ever played a playoff game in his career? I don't think he has.
Was the Laine Dubois trade before or after Tampa got swept by Columbus?
Yeah, see, that's the key. I don't know where the timing on that is, but I feel like he's never played a playoff game. So, you know, it may just be rotating forwards and seeing what works on that top line, and it may not be anything. You know, let's not read too much into it. Like, oh, Roslovic's in the doghouse. No, I think it's just, look, we're just
he's
rotating
crushed in two
people
games,
through that top
then
line.
I'll question it. Or if he's crushed in two games, then I'll say, okay, he's in the doghouse. But the
right,
thing
exactly.
with Roslovic is that he needs to play on that top line. He's not a third line player, and then you lose the advantage of that third line shutdown line, right? So originally, I don't know if it was Vince who was during practice was saying like, oh, Kako's up on the top right wing. So I'm like, oh no, Roslovic's in third line. That kind of doesn't make sense because you're losing the whole purpose of that third line. The reason why you got Wennberg, who doesn't produce that much offense, although he's been, you know, somewhat solid in that area as of recently, is because no one's scoring goals on them. No. You got Cooley, you got him, and you got Kako. So Roslovic, I feel like, only would fit, and you're not obviously splitting Panarin and Lafreniere, right? So Roslovic, I feel like, would only fit on that top right wing. And with Kako, he's good at that play driving, making sure it stays with them, gets into the offensive zone, stays in there with his puck possession. But he can never do that extra step of either having that killer instinct of cutting to the net or setting up Mika and Kreider, which is exactly what
I agree.
Does kind of have that.
I agree with what you said. I think that Roslovic and Kako, if there is going to be a switch, it's Roslovic and Kako, right? That's the switch. And those are kind of interchangeable. And yes, Kako drives play. He drives the play, you know, by controlling the puck on the boards. You know, to quote Larry David, even though he was talking about Panarin, he could also be talking about Kako, right? The way Kako controls puck on the boards.
He did mention
and
him
once,
if you remember, years ago. He was like, oh, yeah, with Quinn. He was Rosie Quinn. And I was like, thank you. That's what every Rangers fan is like. Well, why are you benching Kako after a penalty? You don't think he knows? It's great. It's great to see like people like that being
absolutely
losing their minds about the coaching situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But Kako does – he does drive possession, right? He controls the play on the boards. He goes and gets the puck in the dirty areas where, you know, Kreider and Zibanejad – maybe do not do all of that work, right? Kreider does a little bit of work behind the net. Zibanejad does a little bit of work on that left side, but Kako on that right side and behind the net also drives possession. So maybe if there is a switch, it's Kako and Roslovic. And we've seen that in the last couple of games, right? When Roslovic wasn't scratched, we've seen the switch, you know, for two or three shifts at a time.
Right. The only thing, that I worry is that can Kako have that also that playmaking, setting them up, or going to the net? Because if he doesn't have that element, it doesn't matter what he does before, because nothing's going to come out of it anyway. You know, and I think that's what he was missing when he was on that line originally this year, is that he was doing everything right, and the analytics showed they're doing so well, but the thing is they never were able to finish because there was no setting up or killer instinct. And with Roslovic, the problem is if the other team, you know, catches on that, shut down Roslovic, you're going to shut down Mika and Kreider. And since Roslovic isn't exactly, you know, the big body, puck possession, and you could knock him off a little bit, it would be a problem. Now, I think he's kind of handled it better than I thought he would. He's not going to be the greatest at it, but honestly, I think it's your best shot. You're never going to have elite 5v5 for this team. The recipe is kind of always be a little bit better, a little tad better than average on 5v5, be great at on the power play, great on the penalty kill, and hopefully Shesterkin, you know, is on top of his game.
Yeah, I think that I think you're right there. This has been the Rangers recipe for what? I've been watching them for 30 years, but it's been the Rangers recipe for at least 15 years has been, you know, in the playoffs, above average defense, counterattack, maybe a chance at 5-on-5, good power play, you know, hope to outscore him there.
During the Hank era, we wanted to forfeit the power play.
Yeah.
More shorthanded chances against than more power play chances for. It was crazy. I remember the time, like, well, the 16 and 17 season, interesting. I believe we had very good 5v5 numbers, or, you know, we were scoring a pretty solid amount. But yeah, no, I remember, like, certain times in the Hank era, we're like, no, we don't want it. We don't want the power play.
Yeah.
We want it just 5v5, just stay that way.
Yeah, forfeit the power play. Right.
Yeah. It just seems that while Panarin got rid of his bad habits and took the next level this year, it doesn't seem like Mika got rid of his bad habits, because he wasn't always that perimeter type of player. Like, we remember years ago where he would cut straight to the middle. He had no, he was not afraid to shoot it. And he had no problem just using his speed. And it's frustrating. And obviously, Butch leaving those years ago, he's never really been the same. And I know none of us like that our number one center, who's making $8.5 million, needs a player in order to perform. But again, that is the reality we are in. And that's kind of how we're going to have to. Or Laviolette's going to have to fix this.
Berkey, this is, it's an embarrassment of riches that we have here, because we're sitting here criticizing
right.
The greatest regular season the Rangers have ever had.
Exactly.
We're sitting here like, oh, the number one center doesn't score enough, the top line doesn't score enough, and yet, you know, we've already tied the
points,
greatest number.
That sucks.
Yeah, we've already tied the record for regular season with 2015, right? 14-15.
I thought they needed to get to 12.
No, 53 was tonight. So,
oh, I was thinking about points.
Yeah, no, 53 was tonight. So number of wins, we've tied it 14-15. So, you know, maybe the next game, maybe the game. We have 4 games left.
Right.
And, 4 games left to break the record for best regular season in Rangers history. And we're sitting here saying, you know, look, right, Mika and Kreides really need to step the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
It is. Honestly, I'm not really particularly afraid with Kreider, because he could disappear out now, but I know game one, he's going to lead the pack. Like, I know that's what he's going to do. He did that last year. And with the defense, people were afraid where it was all over the place. But if everyone could remember, versus New Jersey, where it started off, and this is without any system with Gallant, the Rangers' defense was real. It was their strength in that season, in that series, until like after game 5.
Yeah.
And all those concerns, they went away, because what happens is this isn't the regular season anymore. Everyone's playing at 100%. Everyone's giving it their all. It's not the same thing. And now you have a system in place. You have a coach that will adjust. It won't take till game 6 for him to adjust, which was absurd. He'll actually adjust. And we know now we have a team, a great team. We know I have a coach that will manage it properly. And, listen, I could count the times on my fingers where I was somewhat upset or maybe concerned what Lava was doing. And that is insane as a coach for the Rangers.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. That's it. We're at least screaming at the coach once per week, saying, "What in the world are you doing, putting Goodrow or some fourth liner on the second line with Panarin?" It was always like that. And Laviolette,
you're absolutely right.
Because Lafreniere, he has not, what's it called, left the second line the whole season. The whole season. Look at that.
The whole season. We all wish that he would get power play one time.
That's the dream. That is the dream.
Like, you read the articles in The Athletic, and you read the articles in the Hockey News, and you read the articles on ESPN where they're talking about, oh, how great Lafreniere's been. They're like, oh, he's got 60 points, and he's really stepped it up. And they're all unironically talking about how he stepped it up without mentioning that he hasn't got a sniff at power play one time, not even one. And they're comparing him to Stützle, and they're comparing him to Byfield, and they're comparing
the craziest thing is
to Bedard.
He had another 5 to 10 points right now.
Yo, easily 5 to 10. I would say 20.
It's insane, like, how, like, either the goalie robbed him or whoever he set up just didn't finish, or he hit a post. Like, a few of those go in. Like, he's what is he, 3 away from 30 right now? 3 away from 30 goals right now? It's crazy.
Can you imagine if he's on PP1? Like,
that is
25
that is
more
one
points.
Day. One day it'll happen. Like, it's not today,
yeah,
but
yeah, no, you're right.
One day it'll happen.
You're right. So, I he's behind Panarin. But Panarin stays on the power play, on power play one, until he leaves New York or until he retires.
I remember Lafreniere was solid at the bumper. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I thought so too.
He was on the power play one.
I'm trying, but Trocek's been really solid too.
Right,
so
but
who,
that's a thing.
Who
Trocek
do we?
has been.
Yeah, so who do you really put him in for? That's the problem.
It is, yeah.
Like,
it,
that is the problem. Laviolette's not wrong for leaving.
I'm
him
not
on
saying
Pathway
he's
2.
Wrong, but it's just like, man, you see a player like that, and you know what he could do if he did have it. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And it's also frustrating that Mika, who is supposed to be that powerhouse there, I mean, he got a goal tonight off a lucky bounce there, but on the power play. But, man, he's got to honestly, like, everyone is so, like, single-minded where it's just Mika has to be at that spot no matter what. If he's cold for this long, you got to change it up. Yeah, I think you should change it up. At this point, I think maybe not, I guess, because they are, you know, somewhat getting going now. So fine, but it shouldn't take this long. Like, we do this dance so many times where Mika gets cold. Everyone's like, wait, let him cook. He doesn't. And then finally, right at the end, him and Kreider start going on this five-game streak. And we're like, see, it's going to work. Then they stop, and then we're back to the beginning again where it's going to happen again and again and again.
Again, Berkey, we're first place
again,
in the NHL.
I know. We're first place right now.
I'm the guy who's always mean tweeting, like angry tweeting, like what the fuck is wrong with these motherfuckers?
But the thing is, like, I'm not afraid of Panarin producing the playoffs because he's changed his game in a way where it can handle more physicality, and it's not going to be the perimeter; it's going to be more on the inside. And he has two players with him that can produce within the inside and could play that type of game. But with Mika, that does concern me. His defense is his, what's called, where I understand, okay, at least maybe the opposition won't score on him. But it's that does worry me a little bit as a manager. Panarin doesn't worry me. That third line doesn't worry me. Obviously, I'd rather Trouba and Miller not be together, but I hope they can manage. They did it once versus in 2022. Hopefully they could do it again. But
they managed tonight. They didn't give up a goal tonight.
That's right. It doesn't make sense though with the styles of play. Like it's just it makes no
Fox
sense.
Fox and Lindgren gave up the goal tonight, which was uncharacteristic.
Right, but it's also underrated. Lindgren's gotten more involved offensively.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Lindgren had like 5 shots tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what he was on, but that was fun.
He was right up there. Lindgren was behind the net. He was shooting from the point. Lindgren was everywhere tonight, and I was like, Ryan Lindgren fucking legacy game? What is going on right now?
You remember where he scored that snipe in the Devil series?
Oh yeah.
I was just laughing hysterical. So I'm like, this guy's sniping now. Ryan Lindgren from like an impossible angle snaps the top post in.
He was
in
like 2 feet away from the net and he put it top shelf.
I don't know how a person like him who never shoots in his life just takes that shot so casually. And it's like that. That also just shows like the players that in the regular season that don't usually do those type of stuff, you know, can do within the playoffs. Again, it was Gallant's loss. Versus the Devils. That thing, it was a total disaster. It was a great team, gone to waste because there was no adjustment. But also not to mention, Mika, both past playoff runs, his first goal came in game 6.
I would say it was a, you know, I was at game 3 at MSG, and what I noticed was it was a loss for the power play. Chris Kreider scored what 5 goals in the first 2 games or on the power play?
Yeah, ridiculous.
From tip-ins, and then in game 3 they did not even attempt a shot from the point. Not even one.
I think I remember that. It does not make sense. They're like they
it
were
makes
like at that
no
point
sense.
It's too easy. We want to put it more on difficulty, and then it bit them in the end. But that Mika's the one player that I would be concerned about in the playoffs. No one else really concerns me. I like that third line. I like that second line. That second line is going to be a nightmare for teams.
The second line is the first line.
Per game and skill, it's incredible. But yeah, Mika does concern me. Crowder's not going to concern me. I don't really have a problem with that.
I took notes tonight, and I wrote down, like, Kreider is – This is going to be crazy. Just bear with me on this.
Okay.
Kreider is attempting like his best Wayne Gretzky impression right now. Like he's just skating around the ice, trying to be in the right spot. He's not trying to hit anybody. He's not trying to get hit. He's just literally just kind of trying to find the fucking the gap, right? Where the puck's going to be. And again, we talk shit endlessly. Like Twitter talks shit endlessly about Kreider. And what does he do? He just scores another fucking power play goal.
It's funny how many times Rangers Twitter goes nuts, and then that player they're going nuts about is one of the first ones to score. Like remember Lafreniere during the preseason when he scored the first? That was absurd. Barkley Goodrow has 3 goals since the beginning of April, by the way.
Yes.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, Chris is like he's not trying to hit anybody. He's not trying to get in the dirty areas of the ice. He's not trying to do the things that we're used to seeing him do, but he's still fucking scoring goals. So like people are talking shit and he's still putting it in the net. And Goodrow, I took notes
that
on the game.
Doing pretty solid.
Yeah, Goodrow almost scored again tonight.
Yeah.
He was out for blood like near the end of the first period. He was out for blood and I thought he was going to score. And of course, you know, the Rangers had trouble scoring on Caden Primo, early in the year when they lost to him. And I thought it was going to be the same again tonight. I really thought it was going to be, oh, the Rangers get goalied after the first period.
I just want to have this on record and take all the credit for it. Like 2 minutes before I said, like tweeted shutout. So congrats on the shutout. So.
Oh, congrats! Congrats on saying shutout.
I said congrats, Primo on the shutout. So, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, hey, very good. Because first period, I was like, I tweeted typical Rangers for first period. What they have 27 shots or 17 shots, and the Canadians have like, I know it's more than 4, but it felt like it was 4 shots.
Yeah,
and the fifth one goes in after the Rangers dominate
that first
period.
Was so dumb. It was just off a lucky bounce. It was dumb. I'm not blaming Shesterkin for that. That was just absurd. That's not happening. And it's the stuff against Carter is just unjustified. And game one, he's got to be there.
Yeah,
if people are concerned about Mika. I understand that.
Because
at least Carter this year has been good. Mika has been very shaky. And
but again. 26 goals for Mika?
Right, but it's – I don't think – but with assists, I don't think that's enough for him. That's not enough, though, for your 1C. Listen, if you keep on wearing that jersey, who knows?
Yeah. Look, I honestly thought it was going to be the hat trick tonight. I thought they were going to get him for the empty netter. I really thought they were going to find him.
3 away from 30.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, four games left. I think he's going to get 30.
Panarin could get 50. Oh, that's 4 goals. 4 goals in. He could do it, though. If anyone could do it.
I would love Panarin to get 50.
But again, you have to take into account that they might scratch a few players before. Like remember Ryan Lindgren got injured the last game before the 2020 playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, if it's between the President Trophy and that, you scratch him and you don't let them get injured. Who the hell cares about a regular season thing when you want to go all in? It makes no
sense. So the President's Trophy does not it matters if Carolina is still in the hunt for it, right? It matters if Carolina is right behind us and it's like between us and Carolina, that fucking matters. But if it's between us and Boston or if it's between us and Dallas, it does not matter.
I know people really want it, but it's I want it and I hope they get it, but it should not be the priority.
Yeah. I want it too because again, like we're about
with
to
the earthquake.
Set the...
Remember the earthquake and the the eclipse with the 1994. By the way, so apparently the eclipse one was a error. It wasn't 1994, it was 1944. So someone tweeted on
the earthquake.
I quote tweeted
the
you.
The earthquake was 1944.
Right, right. But
and this is my tweet. I know because it was.
You tweeted the solar eclipse.
My tweet was the earthquake was 1944, 5.9. My tweet It did like 12,000 likes, and I had to come out there and be like, hey, this is 1944.
So I quoted your tweet saying like, because I saw your response saying, listen, I'm not going to say it's not connected to the Rangers winning the cup, but I'm not going to say it isn't. And then someone commented on my thing saying, actually, it was 1944. Well, I'm like, well, then it's a bigger, crazier thing because it happened to glitch on the same year as the Rangers won the cup. So maybe it's telling us something. And so, I mean, the mental gymnastics will take to like try to connect the dots here on the Rangers winning the cup. An earthquake is the sign of them winning a cup.
Yeah,
and the President's
absolutely
trophy. And the,
absolutely. I want them to win the President's Trophy because, again, you have about a 23% chance of winning the cup if you win the President's Trophy. And people are like, oh, there's the President's Trophy curse and the and this and that. And they're like, nobody has won it. And then you do the math and you're like, the President's Trophy still has the best chance of winning the cup.
As of recently, they haven't. As of recently, they have not won the cup.
Yeah, if you take it from 2013 on.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Nobody's won it.
No,
right?
it's been very rough. I think one team.
But if you take it, I think it's 2013. But if you take it all the way back to what, 82 or whatever, it's like 23%. It's the best chance you have.
Yeah.
And of course, the last time the Rangers won the cup, they won the President's Trophy.
I don't like the Rangers being the best. I like them being the underdog. They play better being the underdog. It's like they play better being the underdog. They like to like shove it in people's face and saying, we're taking all your dreams and hopes away, and we're going to enjoy it. You're going to lick your cheers, and it's going to be delicious. And
yeah, but
as the
don't you ever
team,
get
it always
tired?
Seems to be back a little bit.
Don't you ever get tired of being down 3-1 in a series and coming back
and
winning in Game 7?
I would, but here's the thing. Last year, 2 years ago, when they were up 2-0 versus Tampa, look what happens when all of a sudden – see, they when they get a lead early ever, whether it's a game, a series, or anything, they don't know what to do with themselves.
No.
They're not used to this. So
no, it's true.
Be the underdog. It's stressful, and it's going to take years off our life. But at the end of the day, that's when they win. Rather than when they're not the underdog and they don't win, you know?
Yeah, it's you're right about that. Like, I cannot and I've tweeted about this several times. They do not and I don't know why. It's not just this year's Rangers team. It's a Rangers culture for the last 10, 15 years. They do not know how to step on the neck, right? They do not they don't know how to play with a lead. They only know how to play when they're behind.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the No Quit in New York slogan, right? That's why the No Quit in New York merch is they cannot just go out and beat a team they're better than. Like tonight with Montreal. They can't go out and beat a team they're better than. They have to get behind first and go, oh, shit, there's
a
game tonight.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it's stressful, but it works. It's frustrating, but again, whatever works, it works. It's
I blame Chris Kreider because he's been here the longest, and he's the one that's carrying on that culture.
Like in 2015, when they had the President's Trophy, and then they actually stepped on the necks of the Penguins and won in 5, I'm like, this is it. They know what to do when they have the lead now. They know what to do when they're the top team. They don't need to come back anymore. And then down Washington. I'm like, son of a gun. They're like, wait, that's not how we're supposed to do things. Hold on, let's go down 3-1 first, then rally back. And I remember all hearing on the radio right before the game, and everyone's like, yeah, Rangers are going to win this. And Ben Bishop laid an egg 2 games ago. And I know I'm giving everyone PTSD right now. But and Hank's gonna win if sure. And then I remember, man, that is probably the most heart crushing Rangers game
that 2-0 loss is it haunts all of our dreams.
Yeah, no, that will.
Do you remember the 2-1 game versus Washington, and it looked like we were going to overtime, and Ovechkin goes behind the net and he passes it back.
One?
Is it game one?
I think it was game one where they led up 1-0. Yeah, I remember. I was so like frozen. I'm like, that didn't just happen. I was so deflated. I'm like, no.
He passes it back to like, who is it? Like Devontae Smith-Pelly or somebody.
I was actually thinking it was Smith-Pelly. I think it actually might have been.
And Smith-Pelly puts it right in on a Lundqvist right in like 2 seconds left or 5 seconds left.
I was so
and wins
shocked.
The game.
I was like, no way. No way. Oh. Like there wasn't coaches challenges, but I'm like, someone called goal interference or something. Like, you can't lose like that. There's no way. I was so prepared for overtime, and all of a sudden it just sweep the legs from under us. And I remember game seven overtime. Washington was I don't want to say dominating, but they were controlling the play for at least the first 7 minutes. And then the Rangers got one play off a faceoff, which they said in the commentary right after. Obviously, everyone could say it by heart right now, the commentary. But it's like how the Rangers were the number one team in the NHL to create plays off the faceoff. And that was nuts because I remember watching with someone and someone telling me, like, this isn't looking good. They're not getting any.
Yeah, who was it? So it's Doc Emmerich that has the call. But is it Keith Jones that talks about Rangers being the number one faceoff team or the number one faceoff play team? Who's with Doc Emmerich on that?
Eddie Olczyk.
Is it Eddie? Yeah, it's Eddie Olczyk. That's right. So Eddie Olczyk talks about, the Rangers run more face-off plays than anyone else. And Yandle puts it on net and Stephon buries it.
Girardi.
Is it Girardi that puts it on net? I thought it was Yandle.
Remember, off the face-off, Jesper Fast helped it back. I think it was Yandle to the point.
Oh, Yandle passes
Girardi
it to
Girardi
with
the
Girardi.
Drive. And then
Girardi
got
with
the
drive. Stephon buries it. Yes.
That was, man, when they scored, then I'm like, this is our year end, man. Obviously, rushing down and our hopes and dreams are dead. And that's it. That's why.
Yeah, when they scored that, everything in the world
we
is possible.
We chose sports for fun, by the way. Just
yeah.
I don't know what we were thinking, but we chose it for fun.
Tonight, speaking, just talking about sports and fun, tonight was maybe, and I know it's an 82 game season, and here we are in game 78, right? But tonight was probably the least stressful game of the season for me. It really was like, yes, the Rangers were down 1-0 after one period, but we've seen
that. My whole thing was just, I just don't want anyone to get injured. That's all really.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's an 82-game season, but that's not going to change within one game. So I couldn't, I like them to win. I'm watching the game. I want them to win. I want them to get the President's Trophy, but honestly, I just want everyone to get healthy. That's it. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Even though it's an 82-game season, I feel like the Rangers have been down 1-0 after the first period about 125 times.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and so that was completely expected, and then it just felt like they controlled the entire game. It felt like, I have to say this, Adam Fox. Like, I have so many Fox jerseys. I have like 3 Adam Fox jerseys. Adam Fox tonight was. Reminded me of, and I know people say this, best Rangers defenseman since Brian Leetch. Yeah. Tonight he actually reminded me of Brian Leetch. Like, the fact that 3 times tonight he was 1 foot from the offensive blue line, and he controlled the puck, and he just undressed, the forward that was trying to take the puck from him. And just completely just embarrassed him and kept
Speaking
the play
of
alive.
Players dancing, how about Lafreniere with that play?
Oh.
That was.
You talking about the behind-the-back pass
to
Panarin?
Well, the spinorama. No, not to Panarin, to Kako on the power play.
Oh, yes,
the spinorama move, and then the back behind-the-back pass. So he was, he is getting better and better by the game. It's scary if he keeps up this up where he's going to be.
Yeah, and then Kako doesn't score, and I was sad. But the last
play
was amazing.
It was a good shot. It hit the knob of the stick. It didn't even hit the blocker. Yeah. It hit the knob of the stick. So I was like, it wasn't even Kako's ball. He had a perfect play shot. It was just unlucky.
Yeah. No, I took notes. I took notes on the whole game until, the Rangers went up 4-2, and then I was like, I don't need notes anymore. But there was, King Primo, again, the Rangers played Caden Primo earlier in the year, and the reason they lost was Caden Primo.
Right.
And I thought for sure they were going to lose it again tonight because of Caden Primo. until they tied it 1-1. When they tied it 1-1 and they beat him once, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I,
like,
I thought if they could score once, then the floodgates will open. But
exactly,
just,
yeah. You know, if they could beat him once, they were going to win the game.
Yeah.
And so when they beat him once, I was like, oh, okay. I thought the ice was really good tonight. Like, you know, usually the Garden ice is kind of suspect.
I mean, it is in New York City above, like, subways. Not subway.
Yeah, exactly. But the nice ice was really good tonight because did you notice that there was very crisp passing? Like, periods 1 and 2, very crisp passing from the Rangers. I mean, they couldn't finish, but there was not a lot of –
I remember there are games where everyone's just sliding all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. There's games where the passing is missing. People are just sliding into the boards.
Yeah.
Like – it was very good ice tonight, and I thought, well, that's worth noting.
Right. Yeah. No. That's definitely definitely a plus.
Yeah. I did note also though, the thing that concerns me going into the playoffs is that the Rangers, as per usual, they like to shoot high. They like to shoot high glove side. Oftentimes results in high and wide. Like, winning teams typically shoot for the pass off the pad, like Valaket says all the time, right? Like, why is Valley not talking to this team?
I don't know. Like, every time I'm, like, in intermission, I'm like, Valley, don't tell – like, I want you to tell us, but tell them.
just
go in the locker room and tell them, Valley. I don't want to say we aren't the ones you need to tell us to, because we want you to explain it to us, but you should be explaining it to them. This would be perfect for them. They don't seem to understand a lot of the times. You don't just shoot to score, which is a crazy concept, I know, but you shoot to get rebounds.
Exactly.
And that's
like
exactly
that's the thing is the Rangers shoot to score every fucking time.
Every time.
Every time they're trying to
Trocheck line. That line shoots to get rebounds.
Yeah.
That line will do it because Trocheck or Lafreniere crashes the net.
They're shooting trying to get it under this arm, right? Trying to get it under the armpit. And it goes right into the chest, or it goes right in the blocker, or it goes right in the glove. And I keep thinking, like, I hate to bring this up, but we all know that the Stanley Cup winning goal in 2014, right?
Oh, gosh.
Off the fucking
We already pad. Reminded them about the Tampa series. We're going to remind them about 2014, too.
Oh, I mean, come on.
This is like
right.
down
Pass
the PTSD
off the pad.
Street. PTSD right. Street.
Pass off the pad. Martinez gets the rebound, and let's go back to the Washington series, right? Girardi pass off the pad, you know.
Oh, do you remember
Stepan gets the rebound and buries it?
The game one versus Pittsburgh, the first game in 2015, Nash took a slap shot off the goalie and then Brassard crashed for the rebound. You remember?
Yes.
It was 26. That was like holding like 26 seconds in or something like that. It was like,
yeah.
They got to shoot more to get rebounds. You're not going to score every single shot. I think if this was Gallant, I'd say you have a problem with that. And they have proven in the past it could still work. They could still win the cup because they made it to the 2022 East Conference Finals. And kind of, in my opinion, they kind of fell apart because they crashed. They were just dead tired. They were skating in quicksand by the time game six came around. They even said after that game, like, if only we had another extra day, if we won this and had – because it was a 2-day break before game seven. Like, they thought they were going to be ready to go, but it was very frustrating. But it's not Gallant's team anymore. Laviolette's here, and he knows what's going to happen. He's got to hammer it to them. And if they come game one and don't crash to the net, you know they're doing suicide drills the next day. Like, you know he's going to have to take care
of it. I hope so.
And you know this team also is out for blood after what happened last year. You know that whole team's pissed of what happened. No one remembers it more than Panarin. I guarantee you. No one has waited for this moment more than him. I mean, just look, you know, how he changed his game. I think this whole team is going to be out for blood in game one just because, I mean, again, Russell, Vick, and Weinberg weren't here, but and Gustafson. But, you know, like the core, like they're going to – they don't want what happened last year to happen again. They're not – I don't think they're going to do that again.
I hope so. I hope they appreciate – like what Steve says every intermission, right? The broken play is the way to score in the playoffs. The broken play is the only way to score in the playoffs. The
right.
broken play, yeah, like this, like going in and I know that, you know, as Valley says, the pass across the crease, right, that crossing pass, I think it's a 30% chance to score. But you're not going to get that in the playoffs. People are going to collapse on their net. I think Panarin
can pull it off now because he's not predictable. Everyone knows he was going to do it. But now you're worried that he's going to pass it to Lafreniere behind him, or he's going to shoot it, which he has a lethal shot. He scored 45, 46 goals now. Well, actually, wait, 46, 47? Yeah, 46. He's not predictable anymore, so which doesn't lead the defense when he easily just move into the passing lane because he's got to take that shooting lane too. He could pull it off now. And Lafreniere with Trocheck, I mean, there's just so many weapons on that line. It's absurd. But the other three lines, I'm not concerned about the third line. I think they're going to give deep other teams fits. They're going to be that kid line mini, the kid line light version, where they're just going to, again, swarm the puck like bees, crash the net, do everything. But that, again, that first line is the priority. To see that and the Miller line, those are the two that I'd look out for. We saw Trouba and Miller do it once. Hopefully they could do it again. I personally wouldn't have them together. I think it should not happen. I think it's a bad mistake. But again, we aren't first in the league, so you can only get so much.
You can't tell the coach, like, hey, by the way, your captain and what you think is your best defenseman and your best, you know, one of your best offensive defensemen suck.
They're not even deploying Trouba properly, though, which is frustrating. Because, they think he hits, so he's automatically a pure defensive. That's not how it works. Maybe in the
80s, I know, he's not 90s, a defensive defenseman. He's a two-way defenseman. Not.
And then the thing is, since Miller's a two-way defenseman, it doesn't work. You got to have, like, a defenseman with Trouba and, I don't know, Miller with Fox. But, again, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
We've tried to get that Miller Fox campaign almost as long as Hedo for 2C, and unfortunately, no. Oof. It worked until he unfortunately got.
Yeah, but can you imagine Miller and Fox together? Like, honestly, that feels like.
You want me to torture you even more? Imagine
Hedo. Well, it feels like it's a shorthanded goal, is what that feels like. Right, if you have Miller and Fox both on the same defensive pair.
And I know Trouba will be fine because Lindgren could bail him out.
Yeah.
Trouba could have a little more freedom offensively because he's not known for his defense. And Lindgren could bail him out. But again, we are at first, even though it's not going to happen. We know it's not going to be – it could be the end of the Rangers playoffs. That those specific things could lead to them losing. But you've seen them get to the Eastern Conference Finals that way. Without any system, really.
Yeah. Now
they have a coach that'll adjust. I got to actually get going because I have a ride that's leaving. Jack, thank you so much for coming on.
Really of course.
And, hopefully everyone stays healthy. I think that's all that matters right now.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Berkey. I appreciate the opportunity. And, let's go Rangers.